I know that the chorus says the blessings are falling tonight, and it's not nighttime, okay? I understand that, but we're going to sing it anyway. How about that? Why? Because it's dreary out. But have you noticed? That's not the mood in the room, and I love that, all right? Here we go. The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are falling tonight and this morning as well. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven, and that's why I'm... Let's sing that one more time, okay? The windows of heaven are open. The blessings are flowing tonight. There's joy, joy, joy in my heart since Jesus made everything right. I gave him my old tattered garments. He gave me a robe of pure white. I'm feasting on manna from heaven. And that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy, and that's why I'm happy tonight. Good. All right. Wonderful. Thank you so much. Brother Mark.
All right. Welcome. Thank you all for being here. Good to see you today. Well, it's not nighttime, but the days are long. Who's enjoying these longer days, huh? You like that? Well, you got about 7 more weeks. Sorry to be a Debbie Downer there, but... The summer solstice quickly approaching, so enjoy the days while they're here. All right, I'm going to read our prayer updates right quick, and then Dan has asked me to do a couple of announcements. I'll just read through those right quick, and then we'll pray. And today we have a guest nugget to open up with, all right? So here's the prayer updates. Sadie's TPR hearing. This is Todd Williams put this down. This will be May the 9th, so coming up early next week. Kermit Deacons has fallen and in a lot of pain. So Kermit's just been through some health issues, and so let's remember Kermit. And by the way, we'll get all these updated on the list that you get emailed out to you. Bob Smith has ongoing issues. So Bob has been on the prayer list for a while, and so we'll continue praying for him. Chris, is it Harmon? Chris Harmon, kidney stones. Okay, all right, with kidney stones. Okay. Man, we've had kidney stones occasionally on here. Some of y'all have had kidney stones, right? So you can pray more intelligently for this than those of us who have never had one. Not that I won't pray, but I don't know exactly what it's like. Some of you know what it's like more than others. So, all right, where are we? Lelia Ganst, is that right? Did I say that correctly? All right, not feeling well. All right, Pat is in pain. And so we remember Pat as well. All right, that's our new updates. Now, Dan asked me to read through some announcements, so I'll read through these quickly. You listen quickly, and we'll move on. First of all, guests, welcome. Online guests, click the link. So if you're watching, I guess we're being streamed live right now. So if you're watching this live, click the link above the FB live stream and let us know you're watching. If you're in person, do we have any guests with us in person today? Any visitors? Yes, visitors, thank you for being here. Any more? Any others that I might have missed? Yes, thank you for being here today. Any others? Yes, all right. Well, welcome, guests. Next announcement, VBS, Vacation Bible School. That is going to be June 27 to 30. If you're interested in working in that, there must be an interest form somewhere. I have not seen one. I don't know where they are, but it says turn in interest form. So if you'd like to work in VBS, please get that turned in. Oasis Lunch, May 3rd at 11:30. Number 4, Men's Prayer Breakfast, May 7 at 8 a.m. Quilting, May 21st. Number 6, WCBC Tour Group, May 22nd. Number 7, promotion and graduate Sunday, June 5th. Number 8, Oasis lunch, June 7th. Man, those Oasis people like to eat a lot, don't they? Wow. Maybe I ought to join that group. Oh, you got to be old to be in it? Is that the... All right, well... You know, I've been over quite a period of time. I've been slowly brushing some gray into my hair to try to look a little more my age. I don't know if it's working or not, but I'm doing my best. All right. Number 9, Junior Day Camp, June 6 through 9. All right, that's it. Okay, let's do birthdays for May. We're going to do this week's birthdays as we have them on today. Angie Martin, happy birthday. On the 2nd, so be tomorrow, Maxie Wampler. On the 3rd, Alan Barker. And on the 5th, Michael Blevins. Anybody else have a birthday this week that I didn't call? And you will admit to it. Own it. Come on, own it, people. Nobody? All right. Anniversaries, as we have them. We don't have any this week. Any anniversaries? Do I see a look of shock from someone who might be getting a reminder? By the way, let me give you guys a reminder. Next Sunday is what? Once again, really loud. Next Sunday is? All right, if you blow it, I gave you a warning here, okay? All right, let's pray, and then we're going to do a guest nugget this morning, all right? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the beautiful day that you gave us. Yes, it's a beautiful day because you created it, and you let us be a part of it. Therefore, it is a beautiful day, and we give you thanks for it. Thank you for the time we can meet here together every Sunday. Thank you for we can gather around your word. Thank you for your love for us. We thank you for dying on the cross, being buried, raised again on the 3rd day. We just celebrated that recently with Easter. We give you thanks for that. And Lord, we've read several on our new additions, new things coming up on our prayer list. Lots of people having physical problems, health issues. And so, Lord, I pray for each one that I've mentioned earlier, that you'd give them comfort, give them peace, give them strength, give them encouragement. I know sometimes health issues can be very discouraging. They can be disappointing. Sometimes we get disappointing news, things we don't like to hear. Help us to realize, as with everything in life, Psalm 37 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Everything that happens in our life is a step. Sometimes it's considered a good step, sometimes maybe a bad step, but it's a step that you have for us. And so I pray for these that I've mentioned earlier. I've already called them out by name, and I pray for their families. I know this is tough on the families sometimes with those going through illnesses, that bless these folks and strengthen them and help them. Bless our class today. Bless our nugget. Bless Brother Dan as he opens up the Bible here in just a few minutes. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guest nugget. I'll give you this, and I'll get all my stuff out of your way, and here you go. If Dan's not back when you're done, just get
okay. Cool. First of all, I just want to let y'all know that I'm not a speaker, so I wouldn't be up here today if it wasn't for God's urging me to. I'm David Sells, by the way, and my wife Karen and I have been members here for about 2 years now. And... sorry, the reason I'm emotional, my mom just went home to be with Jesus on Wednesday. But God gave me this on Saturday morning, so I want to share it with you. When I was 5 years old, my mom would put me on the back of her 1970 Yamaha 125, and Daryl, my brother, would get on the back of my dad's 175. Okay, there we go. And we would ride through the mountains, our whole family, cousins, aunts, uncles, friends, everyone. And that's where I learned my appreciation for motorcycles. And ever since then, I've ridden motorcycles. I love to ride, and God knows that. And that's why I think he gave me this word to share with you all. First of all, let me explain. I'm not a writer or a speaker. And that's why I feel like this is from God. At 5 o'clock Saturday morning, April the 30th, I woke up and said good morning to God, as I often do. And then I started my prayers. Well, then I fell back asleep, as I sometimes do during my prayers. And I had a dream. And I dreamed that God asked me to write a story. Make it 600 words. That was very specific. But write a story, make it 600 words about if I had built you a motorcycle. And that was strange at the time. I didn't really understand what was going on. But I woke up before 6 o'clock and felt the urge to sit down and write. So this is what came out. This is not for me. God gave me a dirt bike. The name of this dirt bike is the Holy Spirit. And it has the power to get me to the summit of the mountain and the steering and handling to stay on the narrow path and maneuver through all the obstacles on the trail. Sorry. The instructions on how to ride this dirt bike are simple. Balance. It's all about balance. We have to have the power, the right amount of power to stay upright and to climb the hills, but we also must have the steering and the handling to stay on the narrow path. The throttle is power. The throttle or the power is the love of God. That we love God with all of our heart, all of our soul, and all of our mind, and we love our neighbors as ourselves. That's Matthew 22, 37 through 39. And Jesus is the greatest, said this is the greatest commandment. The steering and the handling of the motorcycle is truth. And truth is not relative. It's not my truth or your truth, but it's God's truth. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father except through me. John 14, 6. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the Word of God. The Bible is the living Word of God. So the Bible is the truth. Without the throttle or power of love, we'll sit on the Holy Spirit, the dirt bike that God gave us, in the same place, and we will not go anywhere. If we tried to ride the Holy Spirit without love, which is the throttle or the power, there's no balance, and we will fall. Without the balance of the steering and handling, that is truth, we don't stay on the narrow path. We stray off to the right or to the left. We may hit trees or even go over cliffs. There is a balance of truth and love that, when properly balanced, will power us through the straight gate and up the narrow path, and we will ride the Holy Spirit to heaven. Father God, thank you for this. Thank you for your love. There is power in that love, God. We also thank you for your word that is truth. I pray that we stay in the word and you will fill us with your love so that we can have love for others. God bless. Sorry. God help us balance that as we go into this world and share your truth and love. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. He told me 600 words. It was 614. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Brother David. I appreciate that. I really do.
I think we got two nuggets
out of that. I'm telling you. Ready to continue our study on the Holy Spirit? What a great segue. That was amazing. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles this morning. If anyone needs a sheet or sheets that have all the verses on them, if you would at this time just raise your hand. For those that are visiting this morning, we want to thank you for being here. It is an honor to have you here this morning in our class. The reason that we have sheets with verses on them, you say, well, don't you use the Bible? We do use the Bible, but sometimes I go so fast in this study that before someone can get to the verse, I'm already on another verse. So at the request of some of our students here, we've asked that they asked if we could put it on a sheet of paper. And it's still the Word of God. Hallelujah. Amen. It's been a couple weeks since we were studying our lesson on the Holy Spirit. And when we left off last, we were looking how the Holy Spirit is represented with certain symbols in the Bible. And the last one that we spoke of was the Holy Spirit represented as a dove. I don't know if you remember that. And then also a seed, which indicates the growing work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. And I used a word that we never are supposed to use in a Baptist church, specifically an independent Baptist church, progressive sanctification. Much like a progressive dinner, if you've ever had a teen activity and you start out with an appetizer in one house and you go to another house for the next course and you just keep that going for the whole night until you're ready to burst at the end of the night. Progressive sanctification, meaning that it is a process where we are constantly, every day as we walk in the Spirit, we become more like Christ. And His Word, by way of the Holy Spirit, is changing us to be more like Christ. In that sense, it is progressive. And then the last one this morning that we would like to look at before, well, we've got one more after that, before we move on, is a seal. And when I say a seal, I'm not talking about the animal that you find that are so popular in San Francisco, but a seal meaning something that you seal something with. In the olden days, if you'll remember, for those of you that like to watch those movies that get you in touch with your feminine side, like those ladies, what is it? Love Comes Swiftly and softly. Sorry about that. I might have skewed that a little bit. And movies like that, you know, the old kings, when they would send a message, they would give it to the court messenger. And the kings of those days, back in the day, used to wear a ring. And that ring, that signet ring, had a seal on it. And that seal was actual authority. And it represented the king's authority. And so they would take wax, and they would seal an envelope, and they'd drip that wax over the fold where you would open that envelope, and then they would take the ring while the wax was hot, and they would dip it into that wax. And if that seal ever was broken before it reached its intended recipient, then whoever was carrying that could lose his life, his or her life. And so that seal was very important. We find in the Bible, we find that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It represents all the authority and the power of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and His kingdom. Ephesians chapter 1 in your Bible and verse 13. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. The Bible says this, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed," what happens? "Ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Not just a Holy Spirit of promise, but with that Holy Spirit of promise. That is that third part of the divine Trinity, the Holy Spirit of God. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30, the Bible says this, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Just prior to that, you have the line of thinking where it's talking about lots of things. In verse 23, "Be renewed in the spirit of your mind, And then it says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Once an individual receives Christ as their personal Savior, it is an expected thing. There is expectation. And that is to be more like Christ, to put on the new man. We're not to stay wallowing in the same sin where Christ finds us and rescues us and lifts us up out of. We're not to remain in that. We're supposed to put on the new man, it says. And it says, put away lying, speak every man the truth. Verse 25, be ye angry, but sin not. And that seems like, how in the world can you do that? Well, Christ illustrated that in the Gospels, in that anything that he was angry about was always about sin. It was always about sin. So basically, you can get mad as you can muster up about sin. And that's okay. I hate sin. God hates sin. These six things that the Lord hates. Yes, he uses the word hate. Yea, seven are abomination unto him. And you look at that list there in Proverbs. That's a rough list. Of which, I'll have to admit, in my humanity, I have been guilty of some of that. And I don't say that proudly. But those are things that God hates. It literally turns his stomach. It turns his stomach. So be angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. If the devil is going to have his way in a believer's life, we have to give him place. He does not have more power than the believer because of the Holy Spirit. Thank God for that. Now, he will present himself in ways that make us believe that he has more power. Does he have power? He does have power, but he does not have more power than the believer because the believer has the permanent indwelling of the third part of the Trinity, which is God. That Holy Spirit. You have more power than Satan. So if he's going to do anything in your life, you will have had to allow it. You would have had to allow it. We have no excuse. Then it says in 28, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with the hands, the thing which is good that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication or putrid or foul or rotten or mean or, I mean, anything that's corrupt come out of your mouth. But what's supposed to come out of our mouth is that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. My responsibility to you as a fellow believer is that whatever comes out of my mouth is supposed to edify and lift you up. And then he says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, giving us the idea that if we are involved in these things, then we grieve the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit no longer leaves us like he did or would do in the Old Testament. We have the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, but it grieves him. It makes him sad. It literally breaks his heart. And I can just imagine this. I don't express it very well, but on the inside, I'm a very creative person. I can envision him cringing, if that makes any sense. I'm using an old word, but cringing when I am up to something that offends God. It grieves him. Grieve not, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. So, we do not lose our salvation. That does not affect our standing in Christ when we grieve the Holy Spirit. What it does affect is our relationship. Your relationship is hindered when we do things in our lives that grieve the Holy Spirit of God, which is God. So we're sealed, yes. And that is not something that when we teach and preach, that normally those that teach and preach, many times they're afraid that those that hear, that learn, will get the idea that, oh, great, I can do whatever I want because I'm sealed unto the day of redemption. But the opposite is true. When you properly understand who the Holy Spirit is, who God is, and how He works in your life, you do not want to offend that one. You want to love and serve and live for that one. The Bible says, the love of Christ constraineth. That word constraineth means it is the driving force. It constraineth us. It's what causes us to want to do well. Not the fear. Now, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, yes. But the fear of God is not what constrains me. At one time, at a good period of time in my life as a believer, from a youngster of 11 years old, all the way up into, well into adulthood, the fear is what drove me. And that is a miserable existence. You know well, any relationship in your life driven by fear is a miserable relationship. Whether it be in a marriage, whether it be a son, mom, or son, parent, a daughter, parent relationship, any relationship, whether it be in the workplace, if it's driven by fear, I have to do this because I will lose my job if I don't, and I need the money. Isn't it a wonderful feeling when you're working something and you don't need it, and if that person acts like an idiot? And I did say idiot, that's right, because we are human, and humans tend to act that way sometimes. And that person acts like an idiot, but you don't need that job, you can say, well, fine. I don't need to be here. It's a good feeling, isn't it? But when somebody's over you and they're pressing you like that, that's not God. God doesn't operate that way. The love of Christ constraineth us. That's our driving force. Now, this seal indicates power to witness and win the world for Christ. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And when that happens, you shall be witnesses. Listen, there is nothing like being Spirit-filled and walking and staring the devil straight in the face. I've had the opportunity to do that a time or two. It was in the form of a human, but staring him straight in the face. And when you're doing it in the proper heart, and when you're doing it with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, there's nothing like that feeling. And that power is Holy Spirit power. You don't want to do it in your own flesh, because it gets ugly. And that's anything in your life. But when we face it in the power of the Spirit, there's a power to witness and win the world for Christ. Did you know that we have nothing to be ashamed of? We have everything. This is the best thing that could ever happen to anyone, is to know Christ as their personal Savior. The devil has fed us a bucket of lies in thinking that you don't want to go out there, you want to be careful, you want to be this. No. Careful's gone. It's out the window. We are living in the last days. People are going to die and burn in hell for eternity. It is not time to be shy about who we are, about what we have, and we have the best thing ever in the entire world, and that is salvation. I don't have religion. I have salvation. And believe it or not, that is the way we need to approach things. Hey, it's not, you're one of those. I'm like, yeah, and? You're not. Now, there's times for that. Mm-hmm. You're one of those. Yeah, you're right, and you're not. Mm-hmm. And man, that really breaks my heart. Because I don't worry about things. I have hope of tomorrow. Everything around me can just blow up and disappear, but I know whom I believed and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Right. I'm not worried. And that is the way we need to approach this thing. So this seal of the Holy Spirit gives you that power. It is a completed transaction which giving present possession of salvation. Look at Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that justified is a legal term, meaning that the transaction has been completed. Verse 9, much more than being right now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Did you hear what it said? We are saved from wrath. Wrath is no longer going to be something that we're going to experience as a believer. By faith, through the blood of Jesus Christ, the wrath of God no longer is for us. That's what that verse says. Also, chapter 8 of Romans and verse 29. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called. And the called are those that have asked Christ to come into their heart. You're part of the family of God according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. Now again, you see that word predestinate? It hair-lips a lot of people, but don't get worried about it. What happens is, what is predestined? He did predestinate to be what? He predestined us to be conformed to His image. Okay? To the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. That part is predestined, that we would be conformed to His image. This seal is also indicates approval, where it gives evidence of forgiveness. We're in chapter 8 of Romans, verse 1. There is therefore right now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. Who are those that walk not after the flesh? Those that are in Christ Jesus, but after the Spirit. It indicates identification, where it gives evidence of salvation in verse 9 of chapter 8. Now grasp this. Man, I was looking at this when I was studying. This should fly all over us. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the what? The Bible says your flesh, your body, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That's where He hangs out. You're not in the flesh, but what? In the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Does the Spirit of God dwell in you? At the moment of salvation, He dwells in me. And it is a permanent dwelling. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of His. But those that do are indwelled by the Spirit. It gives you identification. It's also indicative of genuineness, where in verse 16, chapter 8, verse 16, says, The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Okay? And if you don't have that, If your spirit does not bear spirit with the Holy Spirit, and you're wondering, am I or am I not? Get that settled. Doesn't matter how long you've lived, that you've lived. It doesn't matter how long that you've gone to church. It doesn't matter who knows you and what they know about you. Get that settled. If you have any doubts whatsoever, well, Brother Dan, what if I was already saved? I don't care. That's not something you monkey with. That's not something you fool around with. I want to know. And the way you know is the Spirit itself will commune with your spirit. Okay? Get that settled. And then it indicates inheritance. In verse 16 and 17, and if children, it says, then what? Heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. Isn't that wonderful that we get to be glorified together with Christ because of the Holy Spirit? Wow, this is amazing stuff. Now, where does time go? It's a purchased possession. Where God's ownership of us results in our responsibility for purity and for service. We have the verse of 1 Corinthians 6:19. What know ye not? You know that verse. And then also in 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 23, the Bible says in 7:23, ye are bought with a price. Be not ye the servants of men. Don't serve men, serve God. You've been bought with a price. Don't let men dictate to you how you're going to live. It provides security, or it indicates security given permanence of salvation, and then also protection, which gives a shield from corruption by outside influences. This verse is very interesting when we go to Revelation chapter 7 and verse 3. Revelation 7 and verse 3 says this, saying, hurt not the earth, neither the sea nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads. And yes, it is talking about end times, but it's very interesting what the Holy Spirit does in sealing during that time. And then finally, as we conclude, we have another symbol of the Holy Spirit in Scripture where it talks about an earnest, meaning a down payment, where in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22, the Bible says, who hath also sealed us and given us, and the Bible uses this term, the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest, the down payment of the Spirit. An earnest being a down payment, pledging that full, final, and complete payment is to come. Full, final, and complete payment is to come. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:5, God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. And then Ephesians 1:13 and 14, that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. So we're not going to get it all right now, but that inheritance is soon coming. Amen. And that payment will be completed totally when we get to heaven. The Holy Spirit is the first fruits of all of our heavenly possessions, which assures and guarantees us of our future possession of the blessings of salvation in heaven. Amen. The Holy Spirit also should be noted, God the Father, the one giving the earnest, and then the Holy Spirit, and not the one receiving the earnest. The believing sinner is the one that receives that earnest. But God the Father is totally responsible for completing the transaction. You and I are not. We can't. We ain't there yet. We don't have what it takes. And He completes that transaction. The Holy Spirit is thus God's solemn word guaranteeing the eternal security of the believer. He says, I got this. And this is how you're going to know that I got this. I'm going to place the Holy Spirit, my Holy Spirit, that Holy Spirit, I'm going to place Him in you. Yes! Is that not awesome? That's exciting. That's exciting. And all through this, we know that it has nothing to do with you and I. He has done everything. You say, then Brother Dan, what motivates me then? My love for Him, my gratitude for Him. That's what drives me to. I want everyone else to be part of this. You need this. The unbeliever needs this in their life. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word, Your guaranteeing word of the Holy Spirit in each and every one of our lives. Thank You for being with us today. Holy Spirit of God, thank You for Your presence. Be with us now as we go into the service. And I pray that You would anoint our pastor as he preaches Your word. Speak to hearts. Change lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you very much. You're dismissed.